Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck. I'm going to continue today to look at the readings we're given at Mass, the first readings each day this week. I've continued to lead us through the letter to the Hebrews. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program this week, I think it's been a great week. There's just so much in these passages that's relevant for today. And I think spreading these out as wide as you can among friends and other people. One of the things you can do is download the Renewal Ministries app, and it makes it very easy for you to listen to the programs anytime you want to, but also to send it to other friends and to get them to do it. We need to do everything we can to help one another really be aligned with the Lord's will in this time. This time of shaking is a time of awakening. You think about that. God is shaking because he's awakening. He wants us to do it. He's shaken to awaken. You might say he's judging the earth. He's awakening the sleeping earth. That is a people, a race of people, even in the church people. Some people just are living as if God doesn't exist. That's really crazy. And people seem to think that's no big deal, actually. More and more people are saying, no, it's the smartest way to live. It's the only way to live. So people have lost touch with God, which is why there's so much division and darkness and confusion, and why, just in our own country, for example, why there's so much constant disruption, opposition, battles, fighting going on. It's going to keep going until we wake up, and we need to respond to God. And it's really important for Christians to not get caught up, and Catholics, to not get caught up in the storms and the fury and the rage and the accusation and the confusion and the canceling of one another and the unbelievable self-righteousness that's present and the hypocrisy and the corruption and stuff that's there. God's coming to deal with all that. And it may take a while. Who knows how long it's going to be. But in his mercy, he's not going to let us stay there. And a key thing is for the church to wake up, is for the church to put first things first, as we've been talking about all week. Today we get another taste of it from Hebrews chapter 13, an exhortation about really answering the question, how should we then live? How should we live right now in the midst of this craziness when it isn't so easy now to live out the faith? It's not so easy to live with all of our neighbors. So it's not so easy. We need to lean into the wisdom of God and to be strengthened by it and live with faith, hope, and love at a much deeper level that the Lord wants to take us to. If we seek him, if we really pursue him, like he said, seek first the kingdom. What does that mean? It means seeking first the king. That's the first step. Jesus is enthroned at the right hand of the Father. He's building and establishing. He's established his church. He's growing his church in the world. It's the instrument through which his grace is coming to the world. And he wants us who are baptized into him to really live it, to be in the position. Like, you know, scripture teaches us so clearly in the catechism. What does it mean to be a disciple? Jesus laid that out for us, you know, spoken by Paul so beautifully in Galatians chapter 2. I've died with Christ, he said. My life is no longer my own. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. And he said, he doesn't do that begrudgingly, like, oh, shoot, now I got to do the religious thing. That's just going to, it's just going to kill my dreams. It's going to take all the fun out of life. It's going to ruin my weekend, all that sort of thing. He's not doing it begrudgingly, saying, are you kidding? Do you know the treasure I found? Do you know what's happened to me? He said, I'm not living what I thought was a big deal anymore. Because it's not a big deal. In light of the Lord, in light of God, in light of who Jesus is and his presence in my life and where human history is going and the whole meaning of what it means to live a great life on earth and its purpose, God opened my eyes. And now I am dead to all the stuff I used to idolize and celebrate. And it was mostly was about me, 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 me. I'm dying to that. I want it to be about him, 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 and his life through me. So Paul says, the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. And we've been talking about faith all week. If you say, what does that mean? You're just tuning in today. The best answer is just take up the rest of the programs we talked about from Monday into today, Monday through Thursday. It's all been about faith. Take up the Bible, read chapter 11, especially in the letter to the Hebrews that we covered this week. That's a sane life, But that's also the most fruitful life. And Jesus makes saints. He wants to make us saints. We're all called to be saints. Nobody gets into heaven unless they're a saint. Not just those few who are identified as saints, but everybody who's in heaven is a saint. And they were made that. What's a saint? A radical lover of Christ. Radical lover of God. What is the love language of heaven? What does it look like? Is it just feeling or sentiment? No. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. To obey the commandments of God. To do the will of God. That's love. Philippians chapter 2, referred to it periodically here, that's so important, that beautiful hymn. It said, Jesus, you know, who became one of us, dying on a cross, said, he became obedient. How? He humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death. He emptied himself. There's a word, kenosis, there. It talks about emptying, totally emptying himself. So what that means for us is, I'm going to willingly cooperate with the work of the Spirit in me, the new power and the new capacity I have in my life, to overcome and subdue the drives in me that are totally self-centered, putting myself first, being confused about what really matters. You know, whatever it is, friends, loving what? Lust, loving money, loving whatever, power, influence, greatness, recognition, all that stuff. Jesus didn't take it on. He humbled himself and became a servant. And how did he do that? He became obedient. How did he humble himself? He became obedient. Even unto death. That's a theme that's going through all of Hebrews here. It's present. Are you resisting sin? What is sin? It's my affection for things that offend God. It's my willing things that are inconsistent with God's plan for my life and his will. And Hebrews is saying, you haven't even shed blood resisting sin. You know, we resist sin just a little bit, and it's like, wow, this is so hard. It's because we're weak. It's because we're so used to babying ourselves, you might say, giving ourselves what we want. And Jesus is saying, let me show you what an absolutely great life looks like. Let me show you what love looks like. Let me show you what a life that will gain eternal heaven, eternal life looks like. He humbled himself. Humility is expressed in obedience. Obedience to a loving God who made us. Obedience without limit. We saw that in the Maccabees. We see that in the apostles. We see it in the saints. And friends, that's what we're called to be. There is a lot of madness, insanity that's emerging in our culture. A circle's a square. You either say that, 2 + 2 = 5, you either affirm that, or you're going to get hurt. You're going to be rejected. You're going to be marginalized. You're going to lose. If you don't do what we tell you to do, you're going to pay a price. And this is a time of testing. The Lord permits it. What's really in the human heart? Guess what we're made for? We're made to know the truth and to walk in it. To be true is not to just say yes to my feelings. To be true is to perceive in the unveiling of reality itself and to align ourselves with what's real. And what's real most fundamentally is God, God's creation, God's commandments, God's life. And no, 2 + 2 = 5. A circle is not a square. A man is not a woman. This is really important for us to be able to see. And so we have to come to terms with the kind of courage the saints have. And they have the courage that overcomes their timidity when they realize, ah, I'm living differently than most people are, or at least the beautiful people in the world, the glitterati want. And so, gosh, I don't want to be, you know, so there's timidity, there's fear. You've not been given a spirit of fear and timidity, but a spirit of power and love and self-control. Don't fall back into fear. Don't fall back into timidity. Don't be conformed to the powers of this world. Live by a different power, the power that's in you. And that power is going to allow you to see the truth then. Because if we get scared and fearful and anxious and our idols, it reveals, what am I really clinging to for my identity? And those things look like they might be taken away. And the more you panic, the more you know you're worshiping at the wrong altar. Let go. God is shaking so that, shaking the nations and waking us up and putting, allowing stress and pressure to come so that your heart and mind get revealed and we can see ourselves in the light of truth and align ourselves with God. And then so Jesus would say, hey, I see that you're afraid. Don't be anxious and don't be fearful. He's really clear about it. But let me tell you who to fear. Fear God. Don't fear anything else, because he made you and you're heading for an eternal destiny in one place or another. Don't worry about this little time you're here on earth. So what if people marginalize you? Let it be painful. Look at all the pain that the saints suffered. So Jesus is saying, are you signed on as a disciple or not? Are you with me or not? And that means to humble ourselves, become obedient even unto death, death on a cross. Jesus did it. So today's reading, Hebrews 13, it says, let brotherly love continue. Do you see the division that's in the country? Do you see the way in which it's getting polarized? Do you see the battles and the critical theory that's impacting so many people's way of thinking, the intersectionality of division? You know, everything's divided by race and sex and preference and everything under the sun. And all relations are now being reduced to Marxist categories and looking at the world from Marxist categories. And it's like all relations are relations of power. All language is power. All money is the exercise of power. And everybody's set against everybody else. We have to step out of that. Jesus disarmed all that, principalities and powers. My neighbor is not my enemy. My neighbor is not a threat to me. The world is not a zero-sum game. Leadership is not dominance. Leadership is service and love. So the writer of Hebrews is reminding us. He's saying, let brotherly love continue. This is Jesus' expectation for you and me, to will the good of my neighbor. It's not to roll over and to salute everything everybody wants. So we need discernment. We need to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. It says, do not neglect hospitality, for through it some have unknowingly entertained angels. That's a whole nother thing. You know, remember, and the Lord loves just little efforts. I mean, he said, just to give a cup of cold water to a prophet gives you a whole prophet's reward. The Lord doesn't miss out on anything. He loves the little stuff. It says, be mindful of prisoners as if you're sharing their imprisonment. Don't forget about them. Come and visit Jesus in prison. When the doors open again, we get over COVID and we can actually go see them. Don't forget them. Let's pray for them. And of the ill-treated as of yourselves, for you also are in the body. We should stand with all those who are being ill-treated, but we have to do it in truth. We have to do it in honesty. We have to do it in humility. Let marriage be honored among all. Got it? It doesn't matter, friends, what the world defines as marriage. God created it. Don't let it be dishonored. It's being dishonored now by being deconstructed. It used to be honored by the culture. Why? Because marriage is where human beings come from, male and a female, and it's important to their union, and their love produces eternal creatures. And it's sacred, it's special, but not anymore. The culture denies the existence of God, and so it's deconstructing those things that bear his image. And it says, and the marriage bed should be kept undefiled, for God will judge the immoral and the adulterers, and let your life be free of the love of money. Do you see these things that are so present and popular in our culture? We need to hear the word of God and trust in God. And remember this, the passage says, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Jesus is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.